Sir Thomas Bertram was expected to arrive back in England in November. His daughter, Maria, was indeed to be pitied, for the return of her father would also mean her marriage to Mr. Rushworth.
My mother bids me bind my...
Do you not think, Fanny, that Miss Crawford sings well?
Indeed, she is very accomplished.
And you have not heard her play her harp yet?
I have not had that pleasure.
She has a great sensitivity and warmth.
My dear brother, Fanny, you see a man before you who hardly knows what to do with himself. Food, drink, the company of ladies, a piano is quite overwhelming after one's been living... Well, my only be described as a mud hut for the last 6 months.
You're exaggerating, Tom. Mm.
On the contrary, you should try it sometime. It's a life fit only for elephants. You must be big, thick-skinned, require little in the way of stimulation, and enjoy nothing better than to spend your days standing under a relentless sun, being fried alive.
We do not object to father leading such a life, considering it pays for all that we possess.
Oh, father loves it. He likes nothing better than to sweat and organise matters and get his boots dirty and go into fields rubbing leaves between his fingers and sniffing them in that knowing way.
I should have liked to have gone to Antigua. Mm.
Then please, please offer to take my place should I ever have to do so again. I see your Miss Crawford has a good voice.
She's hardly my Miss Crawford.
Indeed.
I can assure you, Tom.
There is no need to assure me of anything. A beautiful woman is singing. Do you not think we should be silent and simply gaze upon her in awe?
Fanny watches as Edmund is drawn slowly towards Mary Crawford until he stands enraptured by her side.
What did I tell you, Fanny? I think Miss Crawford has made an impression on my brother's heart. Are not all men essentially the same?
I feel certain they are not.
When you're older, Fanny, you shall see that I'm right.
Is all wisdom merely an attribute of age?
Do not be so serious, Fanny. I ask you but to stand back and smile as stiff-backed, straight-laced Edmund Bertram comes undeniably under the power of a woman.
The time spent with his father in the West Indies has done nothing to curb Tom Bertram's gambling or undesirable habits.
Lady Bertram, how delightful a home is Mansfield Park.
Oh, how very kind. Park, do not eat the cream. You know how it affects you.
Tom Bertram's friend, the Honourable John Yates, has joined him at Mansfield Park. He has not much to recommend him beyond his habits of fashion and expense.
I come to you on the wings of disappointment, ladies. For at Ecclesford we were in the process of preparing some private theatricals when the old dowager died.
Theatricals?
What was to be the play, Mr. Yates?
Lover's Vows, Miss Bertram.
Indeed.
I heard that was a rather daring text, Mr. Yates.
It has received many performances in London, Miss Julia. But alas, my ambitions were to be entirely thwarted at the last moment.
What a shame.
Bad luck. Well, I do not see, Yates, why we should not undertake a little performance of the play ourselves.
Lover's Vows. Yes. I should be happy to participate, Mr. Bertram.
Mr. Crawford.
I am very fond of theatricals.
We must have a curtain, a few yards of green baize.
A side wing, or two, perhaps. Three or four scenes to let down.
Of course.
Well, let us do nothing by halves. If we are to act, let it be in a theatre, completely fitted up with pit boxes and gallery. If we do not outdo Ecclesford, we do nothing.
Now, Edmund, do not be so disagreeable.
What is the matter? I was not asleep.
Oh, no, dear mother, no one suspected you.
I am convinced my father would not approve.
Well, I am convinced to the contrary. How many times have we tabeed or not tabeed in this very room? I know my father as well as you do, Edmund. You manage your own concerns and I'll take care of the rest of the family.
Edmund, I do not understand entirely why you feel so strongly about this. Naturally, all must be done correctly.
You obviously do not know the play, then, Fanny. It is quite improper. And it would all be very imprudent, I think, with regard to Maria. She is engaged to Rushworth, and such a situation with Crawford. I fear for the consequences. I shall speak to my sisters and try to dissuade them.
My dear Edmund, I can perhaps see that Maria's situation might require particular delicacy, but I am
I'm engaged to no one. And I can see no harm in participating in a play which is done in so many respectable families.
But
my engagement to Mr. Rushworth is certainly no impediment to my taking part. I simply do not know what you mean. Mr. Crawford.
My sister desires her love and hopes to be admitted to the company and will be happy to take the part of any old woman that you may not like to do yourself.
Maria gives Edmund a glance as if to say, what say you now? Can we be wrong if Mary Crawford feels the same? The scheme advances, and opposition is in vain.
Now, as to the characters which must be allocated, there are capital tragic parts for Yeats and Crawford, there's the rhyming butler for me, and as for the rest, they may be filled up by anybody.
Of course. Excellent.
I should be happy to take either part.
As should I, Crawford.
Whatever you do not choose, Mr. Yeats, shall satisfy me.
Perhaps this is a point where height and figure might be considered.
Miss Bertram?
Your being the tallest, Mr. Yeats, suggests that you would make a perfect baron.
Oh, of course.
Maria cleverly contrives to cast Henry Crawford as Frederick, for she would certainly play opposite him as Agatha.
And what of Rushworth?
I should certainly be delighted. I'm
sure Mr. Rushworth will be happy to take any part given.
Yes, well, naturally.
But there are not enough women. Amelia and Agatha may do for Maria and me, but there is nothing for your sister, Mr. Crawford.
Oh, I'm certain my sister would not wish to act unless she proved useful.
Oh, but the part of Amelia belongs to Miss Crawford. I mean, it falls as naturally to her as Agatha does to one or other of my sisters.
Each sister looks anxious, each feeling the best claim to Agatha and hoping to have it pressed upon her by the rest. To be Agatha is to play the part of Mr. Crawford's lover, to be the object of his undivided attention on stage, to be the recipient of his longing looks and passionate declarations.
But, Miss Julia, I entreat you not to take the part of Agatha. I could not stand your countenance dressed up in woe and paleness.
It is pleasantly spoken, but Julia sees at a glance that Maria is preferred.
Oh, yes, yes, Maria must be Agatha. Maria will be the best Agatha. Julia had better do the cottager's wife.
Oh. The cottager's wife? What are you talking of? The most trivial, paltry, insignificant part.
But we cannot have two Agathas, and we must have one cottager's wife.
Julia must be Amelia. She is the most difficult character in the whole piece. It requires great delicacy of feeling. A gentlewoman. Julia Bertram.
No. She would not like it. She's too tall and robust. Oh. Amelia should be a small, light, girlish, skipping figure. It's fit only for Miss Crawford.
But do not be afraid of my wanting the character. If I'm not to be Agatha, I'm sure I will do nothing at all. And as to Amelia, it's all the parts in the world the one most disgusting to me. An odious, little pert, unnatural, impudent girl.
Well, you heard what she said. She's made a decision. Now, let us get on. There is much to do.
Julia? Julia, are you there? It is very dark to be sitting here all alone.
Oh, Fanny, I wish there'd never been a play.
You mustn't mind them.
I'm trying not to.
I'm sorry the idea of theatricals ever arose. I'm sure it will end badly.
It's just he so wanted Maria to play the part. Mr. Crawford. He so did not want me to be his lover.
It is his loss. That is how you must view it.
Yes. Yes, of course. I am very occupied just now in any case. I have many commitments which require my attention.
My dear Mrs. Norris, I am to be Count Castle, and I'm to come in first in a blue costume and a pink satin cloak, and afterwards I am to have another fancy suit. I do not know how I shall like it.
We must get to work immediately. Fanny, fetch my sewing basket.
Oh.
We have finally agreed upon our parts, Miss Price.
Do you really think that this play is suitable, Mr. Yeats?
But of course.
Forgive me, but I understood the story to be one of a delicate nature.
The play concerns an illegitimate son, does it not? And women sorely treated by their men.
It is a drama, Mr. Bertram.
And certainly a powerful one at that.
And who will take the parts of the women?
I take the part which Lady Ravenshaw was to have done, and Miss Crawford is to be Amelia.
I come in 3 times and have 42 speeches.
This velvet will do nicely for the waistcoat, yeah. Mr. Rushworth, with some little silver buttons, I think.
I do not consider that this play is suitable, and there is still time to make
now,
another
Mr.
choice.
Yes, I'm coming, Mrs. Norris.
Mariah, I tell you that I think this play is exceedingly unfit for presentation.
I see nothing objectionable in it. Oh, Miss Crawford, you see, our little theatre is emerging.
Cottages and alehouses inside and out. Most impressive.
But pray, who was to play Annalt? What gentleman am I to have the pleasure of making love to?
I should be happy to take the part, but unluckily, the butler and Annalt are on together.
Oh.
Then Edmund should play the part.
I think Mr. Bertram does not act. But tell me, sir, what is your advice?
My advice is to change the play.
And Fanny, you must be the cottager's wife.
Me? Indeed, you must excuse me.
Are you afraid of 6 speeches? What would you do with a part such as mine? I have 42 to learn.
But I cannot act.
Well, you can act well enough for us.
I do not wish to act.
I am quite ashamed of you, Fanny, to make such a difficulty of obliging your cousins. It is very ungrateful indeed, considering who and what you are.
Edmund is too angry with Mrs. Norris to speak, but Mary Crawford looks with astonished eyes at her and moves away.
My dear Miss Price, this is a cross day. Do not let us mind them.
And as to Annalt, I could name at least 6 young men within 10 miles of us who are wild to be admitted into our company. Charles Maddox, perhaps?
As far as I am concerned, I have no objection to anyone you all think eligible.
They have chosen almost as bad a play as they could, and now they want to invite young men we hardly know to join the company.
But what can be done, Edmund?
There is but one thing to be done. I must play the part of Annalt myself. Put yourself in Miss Crawford's place. Consider what it would be like to act scenes of such passion with a stranger.
You are beautiful, Miss Wilderness. Upon
you
my...
You said Wilderness, Rushworth.
Did I? I do apologise. Miss Wildenheim, upon my word...
Honour.
I beg your pardon?
Upon my honour, I think so.
Yes. Upon my honour, I think so, for I am the epitome of the world. I have learnt delicacy in Spain.
Italy.
Might we rest?
I think I can remember it, Miss Crawford.
Fanny is a courteous listener, but Mr. Yates rants dreadfully.
Go and call my daughter hither.
Am I to have an ape for a son-in-law?
Mr. Bertram speaks so quick as to be unintelligible.
At length the Count and Baron bold, their footsteps homeward bended. For why? Because, as you were told, the hunting it was ended.
Mr. Crawford is to be found pressing Maria's hand to his heart as they practice their words, and Fanny watches with a rising distress, which she cannot quite explain, as Edmund and Mary rehearse their parts flawlessly.
What is the subject?
Love.
Come then, teach it me. Teach it me as you taught me geography, languages and other important things.
You misconstrue. You misconceive everything I say or do. The subject I came to you upon was marriage.
A very proper subject from a man who has taught me love.
I love you more than life. Oh, Amelia, had we lived in the golden times which the poets picture, no one but you. But the world is changed. Your birth and fortune make our union impossible.
Edmund! Has come.
What?
He is in the hall at this very moment. Quickly! Oh. Quickly! He is here!
Quick, hide the costume.